most respected elders and friends, brothers and sisters in Islam, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. When we study the Quran Kareem, we observe that the order that is most replete and most repeated in the Quran Kareem is about taqwa. Almost every page of the Quran Kareem has an order in instruction about taqwa, either directly or either indirectly. Every page of the Quran Kareem, there's an order and instruction of taqwa. Taqwa literally is derived from the root word qi, which means stop. Exercise restraint. Don't go forward. When a person is driving a motor vehicle and there's a four-way crossing, then there's a stop sign there. So when a person knows there's a stop sign there, he has to stop. And if he doesn't know there's a stop sign there, then he will have to put his car on a lower gear and come close to a stop street and stop. Now if the person does not stop there, and there is cars that are crossing by, then in all probability, he will crash into one of those cars and meet an accident. The purpose of the stop sign is to stop him from an accident and stop others from an accident as well. Save himself and save others as well. Likewise, in Shariat, there are also many stop signs. There are many places where Shariat have told you, stop. If you don't stop, you move forward, you'll meet an accident. You'll cause harm to yourself and you'll cause harm to other people around you as well. And one specific stop sign in Shariat is the tongue, the mouth. Allah tabarak wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran Kareem, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu attaqullah wa qulu qawlan sadida. O you who believe, fear Allah. Exercise restraint. There are certain places where Allah tabarak wa ta'ala told you not to go forward, stop there. Don't go beyond that point that Allah tabarak wa ta'ala stopped you. If you go beyond that point, then it's going to be an accident, it's going to be harmful and detrimental to yourself. And then Allah tabarak wa ta'ala explains one way how a person could achieve taqwa. قُولُوا قَوْلًا سَدِيدًا. Say that which is straight. The tongue, the mouth, it is a very great ni'mat and great bounty of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala linked the tongue, the mouth with the brains. When a person thinks about something, then that message is communicated through the tongue. And the tongue then expresses what is in the heart and the mind of that individual. And that is why Saaduddin Taftazani rahmatullahi alayhi, in one place in Sharhul Aqaid, he mentions this poem, إِنَّمَا جُعِلَ اللِّسَانَ عَلَى الْفُعَادِ دَلِيلًا. That Allah tabarak wa ta'ala has made the tongue such that it expresses what is in the mind of the person and what is in the heart of the person. In fact, in the Quran Kareem, Allah tabarak wa ta'ala speaks about the kuffar. They got so much of hatred for Islam, but you'll only make out the hatred when they speak. قَدْ بَدَتِ الْبَغْضَاءُ مِنْ أَفْوَاهِهِمْ. When they speak, then you can just make it out from what they are saying, the contents of what they talk, that there's only enmity, animosity, rancor and hatred for Islam. The tongue is such that we are able to express our iman and express our deen. We believe in Allah. We believe in the risalat of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We believe in the day of qiyamah. But Allah gave us a tongue to express it. We say, La ilaha illallah. Otherwise, if we were dumb, we are not able to speak, we will not be able to express our iman. Likewise, a woman who is a ghair mahram, a woman with whom nikah is permissible, she's before making the nikah, she's haram. But when the nikah takes place, she's either represented
by her wakil, by her representative, in the presence of at least two people, or whoever is present in that gathering, when that person says, when it's been asked to him, that do you accept this woman in your nikah? So a person said, yes, I accept her in my nikah. He just says that, I accept it. I take her as my wife. So what was haram before, just by one statement now becomes halal. Great ni'mat of Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, through the tongue, what was haram now became halal upon the individual. Likewise, all our mu'amalat, all our dealings, al-bay' yan'aqidu bil ijabi wal qubul. All transactions, there's a proposal, there's an acceptance. One person says, I wish to buy that item, and I'm offering you so much for this. Then the purchaser will say in response, that I accept the transaction and I conclude the transaction. So what was haram before, what belonged to someone else, now just by that acceptance, now it becomes yours and the transaction is permissible. The tongue is such a great ni'mat and bounty of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, through which we could get the closeness to Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. The very last hadith that is mentioned in Bukhari Sharif, narrated by Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala, and the Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, kalimatan habibatani ala ar-Rahman, khafifatani ala al-lisan, thaqilatani fil mizan, subhanallahi wa bihamdihi, subhanallahi al-azim. Two statements. They are very, very light on the tongue. Not even heavy to say it. Very, very dear to Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. And the reward of that is very, very weighty on the scales on the day of Qiyamah. Just two statements. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, subhanallah al-azim. In the hadith, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam reported to have mentioned that if a person had to say this, subhanallah wa bihamdihi, subhanallah al-azim, 100 times, any time in a day, then Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala forgive all the person's sins, even though it will be equivalent to the foams of the sea. Just two statements. From the tongue, we understand the tongue, how close we can get to Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. Sometimes with the tongue, we just mention some statements of love and affection to someone, win the heart of that person, and the person could get close to Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. In one hadith, in Bukhari Sharif, in Kitab al-Marada, there's a narration. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam reported to have mentioned, Man azza thakla kusya burdan fil jannah. Somebody who is in some problem, some difficulty, somebody had passed away, the person is mourning, he's going through so much of pain and difficulty, you just go there and you sympathize with the person. Just say two or three statements, that Allah make it easy for you, have patience, console the person. That's all you said him. It may not even take you 1 minute to say that statement. That statement is such that lighten the burden of that person. Allah loves that statement so much that Allah will prepare an abode for you in Jannat and Paradise. So the tongue is a great ni'mat, great bounty of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. But at the same time, the consequence of the tongue can be very, very dangerous. This is saying in Arabic, Jirmuhu saghir wa jurmuhu kabir. Tongue is very, very small. In fact, it is hidden behind 32 teeth. And right inside the mouth, nobody sees it. But that's the thing that causes all the damage. So it is small, but the crime of it is very, very big. That is why there is a saying in Arabic, Jarahatu sinan laha iltiyam wa la iltiyam ma jarahal lisan. If you have to wound someone, then you put medication, that wound would heal. But you say somebody something with a tongue, hurt the person, and sometimes years will pass by and the person, you'll remember what that person has said to you. Sometimes very, very painful, very, very hurtful. And sometimes a person may not think anything about a statement, but you will never realize how you're hurting the next person. Once a father-in-law came home, and he noticed his daughter-in-law is extremely angry. Her face was pulled up and she was raging. So father-in-law went to his wife and he asked her, what's wrong with the daughter-in-law today? Did you say anything? Why is she so angry and upset? She said, no, I didn't say anything much. I only told to her, because one mistake that she has made, I only told to her that your father is a slave and your mother is a slave. See, I didn't say anything more than that. That statement alone is such. Imagine telling somebody in a derogative statement, your father is a slave, your mother is a slave. That is sufficient to anger the person. Here the woman doesn't think anything about it. And she's saying that I only made two statements to her. Meanwhile, these statements have dire consequences. In one hadith, Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is reported to have mentioned, in Bukhari Sharif, the hadith is, مَرَّ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ عَلَىٰ قَبْرَيْنِ وَهُمَا يُعَذَّبَانِ وَمَا يُعَذَّبَانِ فِي كَبِيرٍ. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam happened to pass by two qabars, two graves. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was shown that the two inmates of the graves are being punished. And they weren't being punished for something that was difficult to abstain from. أَمَّا أَحَدُهُمَا فَكَانَ يَمْشِي بِالنَّمِيمَةِ. One of them too was such that had a habit of gossiping. Abuse of the tongue. You go to one place, you make one story. You go to another place, you make another story. You go to a third place, you make another story. Taking stories from one place to near the other, and starting off from a spark, ending up into a fire. وَأَمَّا الْآخَرْ فَكَانَ لَا يَسْتَتِرُ مِنَ الْبَوْلِ أَوْ كَمَا قَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. The other person, he would not abstain from urine drops. When a person relieves himself, need to exercise a lot of precaution. It is not just a matter of removing the impurity and the toxin from the body and just cleansing yourself. That this not cleansing yourself and not exercising precaution when you relieve yourself could become a means of punishment in the qabr. Allah save us and Allah protect us. In fact, in Shariat, there are many places where a person abuses his tongue and Shariat punishes the person for that. There is a concept of haddi qazaf in Shariat. One person happened to accuse another person. For example, he says that that person had committed zina. Now, if the person does not produce four witnesses, including himself, to substantiate the claim that he has made, even if you have to prove present three witnesses, but he's short of one witness, then the judge is going to dismiss that person's claim. And instead of the accused person being punished, the person that made this accusation, the person that made this allegation, now he will be given 100 lashes. Why didn't you exercise precaution in this statement? Take away the dignity and honor of someone. In other words, you are trying to say that that person is an adulterer. That person now will have to live in the community and society. Making such an allegation, now you are making things difficult for him to live in the community. In Hidayah, in one of the chapters it is mentioned, it comes under the chapter of Ta'zir, that if a person happened to say to the next person a derogative statement, Ya Himar, donkey, just said that much, the person that suffered the consequence of that statement, he can go to the Islamic courts, tell the judge that that person has made that allegation against me and he told a statement against me and he's called me a donkey. I lost my respect. I lost my honor and dignity in the community. The person that made the statement, just that statement, it hardly takes about half a minute to make a statement. The judge can summon him, and if he's found guilty for that, he will be punished 20 lashes. Not only that, when a person doesn't exercise precaution in his tongue, nikah is so important. It is through nikah, what was haram became halal. But now the husband is angry with the wife. And out of anger, he just issues talaq to her. How often, just yesterday one person came to a Darul Ifta to come to ask me a masla. He says that, Mufti sahab, I went to so and so alim, he told I must come to you. I went to a so and so alim, he told I must come to you to clarify the issue. So when he came to me, I asked him, what is the issue? First he started speaking about all his fazail, that who he is and what he is. So I told him, don't tell me all that, tell me what is the issue so I can give you a ruling. I told, I did issue two times talaq to my wife. I told her talaq, talaq. But the third one I told her talaq. I didn't use the qaf in it. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam reported to have mentioned salasun jidduhunna jiddun wa hazluhunna jiddun. Three things, the reality of it is a reality, the joke of it is also a reality. If a person needs to exercise precaution, a woman is supposed to be respected, honored. Just because you are angry with her, so every small statement, you're putting the gun onto her head and you're telling her that I will divorce you. You're threatening her divorce. If you were to make Islam of someone, imagine somebody have to put the gun on your head and ask to make Islam of yourself. Will your Islam be made? How can you make that kind of Islam with your wife? That is why it's very, very important for us to look after our thang. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is reported to have mentioned, Uqba ibn Amir radiallahu ta'ala who says, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Amlik alayka lisanak. Become the owner of your tongue. Just as you get a master and a slave, and a slave has no say over the issue, you become the master over your tongue. That means your tongue mustn't dictate to you. You must dictate the tongue must be under your control. The second, wal yasa'ka baytuk. Let your house be sufficient for you. As far as possible, stay in the confines of your home. Especially nowadays with the age of fitna and fasad, you're going to go out. The moment you come out of the home, you're already challenged. In so many different ways. And the third, Nabi Kareem Sasa mentioned, the wabki ala khati'atik. Come to the point of realization that you have done wrong. And once you realize that you are wrong, then now cry upon your sins. In the lives of our akabirin, our pious elders, they used to exercise a lot of precaution on the tongues. Once, one person who was very close to Hazrat Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahmatullah Ali. He used to be in the gathering of Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahmatullah Ali. And Hazrat Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahmatullah also used to like him a lot. He had one habit of speaking a lot. So after some time, he told Hazrat Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, the Hazrat, the whole world is benefiting from you. Everybody is taking bay'at on your hands. So why should I take bayat on your hands? I also want to take bayat on your hands and I also want to become your murid. I expect you to also make my islah. Now the Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahmatullah accepted his bayat, and after you take bayat, normally the murid asked the Shaykh, the Hazrat, what zikr must I make? What tasbihat must I make? How much tilawat of the Quran must I make? What should I do? What shouldn't I do? So he asked Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahmatullah Ali. And the Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahmatullah Ali told him that the only zikr and the only ma'mool for you is that you must keep quiet. You've got a habit of talking a lot, first control your tongue. The moment you control your tongue, then everything else will be under control. Hazrat Maulana Sayyid Asghar Hussain Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, he was the ustad of Hazrat Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahmatullah Ali in Darulun Deoband. And after that in Pakistan they were there. So one day, Hazrat Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahmatullah Ali went to Hazrat Maulana Sayyid Asghar Hussain Sahib Rahmatullah Ali to meet him, visit him, and to benefit from his company. So Maulana Sayyid Asghar Hussain Sahib Rahmatullah Ali told to Mufti Shafi Sahib that, see, today we are only going to talk Arabic. Now, the mother language was Urdu. And especially those that are used to talking Urdu, they wouldn't want to choose in speaking any other language. Like, for example, we are used to talking English. Now, suddenly, you have to switch from English, in some instances, Gujarati, some instances, another language. Sometimes, it becomes a little bit difficult. So, Maulana Sayyid Asghar Hussain Sahib told to Mufti Shafi Sahib that today, we're only going to talk Arabic. Now, they both were great ulama. They knew Arabic also very well. But the mother language was Urdu. Then, Mufti Shafi Sahib asked, Maulana, that why is that so? Every time we talk in Urdu, why must we talk Arabic today? He says, Urdu is our mother language and we are very free to talk in that. And sometimes we don't even think what we are talking because we are so used to talking Urdu. But now, although we know Arabic, but we are not fluent in talking Arabic, now for every statement that we are going to talk, we are going to measure it, that what we are going to say and how we are going to say it. And like that, we will be careful with our tongues. Thereafter, he mentioned that our example is of that person who is on a journey, and he lost everything with the exception of few coins, last few coins left before he could reach his journey. Now imagine if the person had to lose that last few coins, he may not reach his destination. He said, we are in the last moments of our life. We are in the last lapses of our life. So many things happen in our life. Now we've got just few things that we can do in our life. Imagine we don't do these few things also, right? What will happen to us? It's very, very important, most respected elder and friends, and that is why Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran Kareem, Ya ayyuhallazina amanu ittaqullah wa qulu qawlan sadida. Fear Allah tabarak wa ta'ala and say that which is straight. And then Allah ta'ala speaks about the benefit of the tongue. When you control the tongue, yuslih lakum a'malakum. Allah will then rectify you. Allah will reform you. And from the practical point of view, the limb that is fastest in our body is the tongue. Even more faster than the eyes, faster than the ears, faster than anything else. Sometimes, when you're upset with someone, you maybe don't want to look at that person. But before you look at him, your tongue is going to move. And if a person is able to control his tongue, he's got control over his tongue, now he'll be able to control his eyes. He'll be able to control his ears. He'll stay away from bad nazar. He'll stay away from ghibat. Just because he's already taken control over tongue and he disciplined his tongue. وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ Allah will forgive your sins. Forgive your sins in a sense, because you control your tongue, now you're not going to commit those sins, the sins of the tongue. So respect the elder and friends. Very, very important for us to go out of our way to understand our wrongs and acknowledge our wrongs. If you don't acknowledge our wrongs, our Islam will never be made. Otherwise, our situation will be like that old lady, wrinkles on her face, hollows in her eyes, no teeth in her mouth, and her face, her skin is actually drooping down. And she called for a mirror, she looks in the mirror, and then she says that nowadays, people don't make mirrors properly. Now, she doesn't acknowledge that she's old, and she puts the whole buck onto the mirror. There's nothing wrong with the mirror. There's something wrong with her. Our condition is just like that. Sometimes we don't acknowledge our wrongs. We don't acknowledge that we got a weakness and shortcoming, and we put the entire fault on someone else. Until and unless we don't acknowledge and say that I have a wrong in me, I have a shortcoming in me, until then our Islam will not be made. Allah give us tawfiq and hidayah to make our Islam. Be conscious of it all the time, and also be careful in every statement that come out from our tongue. We calculate and measure every statement. Once we are careful of that, how we talk to our parents, how we talk to our friends, how we talk to our associate, ensure that we didn't hurt anyone. If we happen to hurt anyone, immediately we ask for forgiveness. It shouldn't happen. That statement, we hurt someone, we're carrying on with our life, and that person is painful, and Allah hold us responsible for that on the day of Qiyamah. Allah give us tawfiq. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.